Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. Today, Dave and Bethley continue their series on family success. Hey, I trust this has been a blessing to you so far. So let those miles fade away between you and the Youngs as they share their hearts and experiences with you, wherever you might be in the world.
Okay, you ready to get into today?
Absolutely.
All right, we've been talking about family success. Mm-hmm. And we've discussed the single most important word in raising children. That word is
training.
Training. Mm-hmm. And we looked at Ephesians 6:4. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, and ye fathers,
provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
And we looked at Proverbs 22:6.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
That is such a, just simple verses. And don't get upset or uptight or confused about them. The whole point they're making is our loving Heavenly Father is telling us that we're to bring up our children, we're to train our children.
Right.
And we're to do it so well that they love the Lord, know the Lord, and live for Him all the days of their life.
Right. And an important goal.
Oh, what an incredible goal, for sure. And so it's hard work? Yes, it is. It takes lots of time.
Yes.
And it just is such great investment of time. It's so well invested. We took a part two to talk with you about understanding the issue of training. Mm-hmm. And really kind of zeroing a little bit on Proverbs 22:6, where the Bible there is reminding us that we've always got to be thinking, where do we want our children to be?
Right.
In 5 years, 10 years, 25 years.
Yes.
Then the Bible is teaching that it's greatly determined by our training. Mm-hmm. So may God help all of us as moms and dads to do our very best to train our children. To invest the time, to give the time, to study, to figure out how to do it.
Yes.
Nobody's an expert. Bethany and I, any success we have would be because we have perused the Bible. Mm. We've just questioned people. We've studied. And we're still learning.
We've prayed.
And you better believe that one. And so we talked about understanding the issue of training. Now, last week we began a part three, and we talked about just three important areas of training, and we did not finish that one. So we're going to pick up and review and jump into that one today.
Right.
And the three important areas of training, we started by reminding you that training is based on
a loving relationship.
Loving relationship.
Always.
Expound on that one more time in case someone is just joining us, sweetheart.
Well, we can go about our family military style. You will obey me. You will stand up straight. You will do this. You will do that. But the best way, the biblical way,
sure,
to train our children is based on a loving relationship. Will there be times of correction and discipline? Absolutely. Just like our loving Heavenly Father has to give us correction, chastisement, discipline, we will have times of that. But all of our training, give me your attention, give me your heart, give me your hand, all should be based on, I love you and I will always love you. We used to tell our children that. We would say, I love you and I will always love you, even if you go out and do the most wicked thing ever. I will still love you.
Yeah. And we'd actually say three things. I love you, I always have,
and I always will.
In fact, I said to my daughter some weeks ago, I was tucking her into her bed, and I said, I love you. She said, I know. I said, I have always loved you. And then she said, I know. And I said, you know what? She said, you always will. So she got the message, and I was very happy about that. So this loving relationship is so important. And it is a model of how God treats us.
Right.
And even correction that is done well is always based on a heart of love.
Absolutely.
I love you so much. I cannot allow you as a 3-year-old to do things and learn habits that will destroy you when you're 33.
Right.
And so I love you too much for that.
It's hard to think that way when they're three, that they will someday be 33.
but the Bible wants you to know as a mom and dad, listen, you mommies that are training, you know, you're home with a 2-year-old, and it's so easy to just give up and let it whatever or force the issue. You're stronger, you're bigger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yet it takes a lot of training right now to start teaching your child to have self-control,
right,
self-denial, and to learn to listen and respond, which is really the first area. Right. Everything starts with the phrase, give me your attention. We want our children to listen and to respond. We've got to have goals.
Right.
Bethany pointed out last week, you that were with us, that every family's goals can vary. Mm-hmm. The main big one in this would be the word obedient.
Right. And I would hope every family would have that goal.
Yeah, that one should be, that one should just be expected.
Yes. But
is probably the primary focus here. Mm-hmm. We found out if we trained our children to listen to our voice and respond,
right,
that meant we had to talk a lot. It meant we had to make a lot of correction. We had to correct behavior.
Right.
Sometimes we had to punish behavior.
Right.
Because negative behavior always has negative consequences.
Yes.
We do reap what we sow.
Yes.
And so forth. But we found out that if we are just continually training obedience, that it prepares our children for success in life. They learn to obey the law.
Right.
It also trains them to succeed spiritually because they learn to listen for God's voice.
Right.
And so this is a very important one. Give me your attention. And we parked on that one. And then as we were closing last week, we were really moving into give me your heart, and we were just partway through it. Remember that heart is the total of our thoughts, our emotions, and our decisions.
Right.
And so Bethley had reminded me of a great truth to tie into this. And last week we read Proverbs 16:6. You want to read that again, my love?
Yes. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged.
And this is where we were ending last week. So just give us a review there, and then we'll go further in the study.
Right. Give me your heart, remember, is truth. It is pouring truth into our children so that those emotions, so that their decision-making will all be guided by the truth of the Word of God.
Yes, yes.
But remember that in the Word of God, truth is often balanced with mercy. And we didn't get to really expound too much on what that means. But if you think of a simple illustration, maybe a toddler who is screaming and crying and will not be quieted. And you, as a parent, you just want it to stop. And so you could pour truth into them. You will obey me and you will get happy right now. And yes, you could discipline in that way. Or as a parent, you could have mercy and you could think, all right, what's going on with this child? Did they have their nap today? Did they eat recently? Did something happen that is hurting this child? I know sometimes you're like, you're fine. And then you find out, oh dear, you're cutting a tooth or something is pinching you in your car seat. And so mercy that's just a practical illustration. There's a lot bigger illustrations that we could give, but mercy should balance out our truth.
That's so true. And what a divine picture of our divine God.
Yes.
And how much he's all about truth. Mm-hmm. Everything with God is true. His word is true. He is true.
Yes.
And his law is true. And yet God works in relation to us with such amazing mercy.
Right.
And such awareness. I'm thinking of that passage in the Old Testament where Jacob is running. His brother is coming to meet him.
Yes.
They've been estranged for many years because of what Jacob had done to him. Mm-hmm. And his brother hates him. And his brother had, the last time he saw his brother had threatened to kill him.
Right.
And so Jacob, now it's been many years. He has four wives of all the weird things to say.
Right.
And he has 12 sons.
He's quite a bit older.
And he's an older man. And when his brother does come to meet him, there's a reconciliation.
Yes.
And then his brother says, all right, let's go. Let's go back to the homeland. Mm-hmm. And he says to his brother, Esau, he said, actually, we're going to come softly because we have so many young children.
Right.
And I thought, isn't that interesting that this man was showing mercy? He's a grown man. He could say, all right, get it moving. Moms and wives and servants, pick up the kids and let's move them. Mm-hmm. But knowing that the children have a tendency to be weary. They can't do what an adult could do. And as we traveled in evangelism all over the country, there were times where we realized that the children are not rebelling. It's not that they're being stubborn here. They are worn out because daddy has drugged them across the country to another revival.
Yes.
And we had to show mercy. And we always went to revivals together. But if there was a night where our family needed a night off, the kids are worn out, they're weary, they're out of sorts.
Right.
I've said to my wife, I tell you what, why don't you stay home tonight, get the kids a bath, get them a snack, maybe watch something or read to them and get them into bed early. Mm-hmm. And that's just another picture of how mercy and truth work.
Yes.
And even in the New Testament, in the church, those of us who preach and teach in the church are, in Ephesians chapter 4, we are taught to speak the truth in love. Yes. Which is another way of combining mercy and truth.
Right.
So here's just a few thoughts for you about it. And this is just kind of an aside. Remember that we don't have to have a revival meeting about every situation in your family. And that we have, along the way, observed that some families, every little situation, we are so driven.
Yes.
That our kids are going to do well and love God.
Right, and we're
going to
pour truth into them.
And so they have a little infraction in their life, and the next thing you know, there's like there's a prayer meeting, there's a scripture reading, there's an invitation song.
And, well, that might be taking a little far.
That might be going too far. But you can be very matter-of-fact about this as you're training your children truth. Sometimes training your children truth is a matter of pointing out something and saying, hey, you know, that's wrong because the Bible says.
Right.
Or that's right because the Bible says.
Right. And then moving on.
But as our children were younger, we started this process of give me your heart by really from day one teaching them God's word.
Right.
When our children came home, and I don't even know why I started this or where I got it, but we would quote a verse every night to the children. Mm-hmm. And here's a baby. They don't have a clue. They just got a bath and they just ate and now they're all swaddled up and warm and they're going to sleep. But I would lay the baby in the crib and quote Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Yes.
We said that every night to our little ones until they could say it out loud.
Right.
And then as soon as they knew that one, what are we doing? Just give me your heart. We taught them about creation. In the beginning, God.
Right.
And we taught the kids over and over again, who made the trees? God. And our kids would say, God.
Right.
And who made the river? God. Mm-hmm. Who made those cows over there? God. Mm-hmm. Who made the horses? God.
Yes.
And that was always a very special matter of imparting truth to our children. That's what Give Me Your Heart is all about.
Right.
And from creation, we moved to God's love. I think we start with John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And we wanted our children to know that, yes, we do wrong. Yes, we're sinners. But God so loved the world that Jesus died for us. And I remember we'd talk to them about, you know, Daddy and Mommy, the reason Daddy and Mommy got saved through Jesus Christ, rescued from sin and rescued from the judgment of God, is because God loves us and we need to be saved. And He cares about us. So we're pointing out truth.
Hey, this is Michael Barnett, and you've been listening to Dave and Bethley's continued series, Family Success. Join us next time as we continue this series on family success. If you'd like more information or would like to hear more edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just visit keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.